Hello, I'm Kevin Barcinas, and welcome to the very first episode of Men Don't Cry. These are the tattoos of a male-dominated world, a show where inklings of masculinity are skin deep. So I wanted to give a little bit of premise as to what this show will entail throughout the semester. Ultimately, I aim to open the conversation about masculinity and what it means to all kinds of people, and expand on gender role culture and its evolution with a focus on Los Angeles. We have a Pierce College student here with us today, and I'm very excited to explore our topic at hand. So I'd like to welcome Amir Malikpour.
Hi.
Hi, Amir. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Did you have classes this morning?
I did. I had two classes.
What were they?
I had History 13 with Professor McMillan and Journalism 101 with Rob O'Neill.
Ooh. Are any of those your major?
No. Those are just my gen eds. I'm actually a media arts major.
So, oh, wow. Yeah. What do you want to do with that?
Hopefully I can transfer to USC for screenwriting, and with that career, hopefully I can take off into directing in the industry.
Wow.
I'm a little suspicious at my odds of that because it's getting
believe
numbers,
in yourself. That's like, that's awesome, though. I'm a theater major myself, so one day I might need you to get in there. So we're going to jump right into the topic, beginning with our description of masculinity. What does masculinity mean to you?
Masculinity to me, well, my definition of masculinity is not what other people view it as, but to me it's being comfortable with who you are and not being scared and pressured to follow a set like rules of like masculinity in terms of like you gotta be like manly or you can't cry or like you like you know, like the testosterone fueled culture of like what I wouldn't say it's in LA as much anymore, but like I'd say it was farther out east.
Where do you think it stems from?
I think it just stems from like, I think it actually stems from like a lot of baby boomers, because like they come from like a place where their parents were pretty strict in terms of like, oh, you gotta follow these set of rules, you gotta be a normal boy, you can't play with like Barbies, or you can have to play trucks outside, and you have to go fight your little brother, and this and that. And it's just like,
it's like the war made everybody manly or something.
Exactly.
So do you think it is a social construct or something you're inherently born with?
I think it's a social construct, definitely. No one's born with that. I do believe, I personally, like if I had children, I would instill individuality within them, and I wouldn't tell them you have to follow these set of rules to be manly, and you have to be a man, and you have to be a breadwinner. Like, no, like just be yourself.
Were you personally affected by that when your growth in childhood?
To a degree, I at one point, like when I was younger, I wanted like a Barbie, and my dad got mad at me. He's like, "Oh no, you can't be. Oh no, no." And he's like, he got all emotional, and I wouldn't say he cried, but like you could tell he was distressed. But like later on, like especially with my mom kind of pressuring my dad, they kind of allowed me to go and join theater and like express myself, and that's to me was like the root of how I got comfortable with myself in terms, and I wasn't like worried about like acting testosterone fueled.
So with that rebellion, do you think that maybe it doesn't stem from like having a father figure? Because some people say that if you're not masculine, it's almost like they assume you didn't grow up with this like masculine father figure in your life.
Well, my dad, for example, he didn't have his dad a lot in his life because his dad was like fooling around with like four other women. So like he had to take 10 to four other families. So a lot of the times his mom was in his life. And like my dad, he loves cooking. He's like, sometimes I call him Coco Chanel because he gets so critical of clothing. But like he also like tries to act like that macho man because he also has like he has like a lot of white friends. When he came to America, he like most of it, like 80% of his friends were white. He was like the only brown one. But like that's where his like testosterone like him trying to install the testosterone into me, not literally, but like figuratively, like came from. But like
giving you those shots,
But like no, like he a lot in terms of gender roles, he kind of like took on like the stereotypical house mother role because he did have his mom in his life, dad. I guess he could be viewed as feminine, but he's also like that stereotypical masculine like Persian dude. By the way, I'm Persian.
Oh, okay. So you said he moved to America. Where did he come from?
He came from Iran. It wasn't after the revolution in 79. It was actually after, I do believe the Iran and Iraq war was in 82 or 83. He came here through his privilege back home because his family, he came from like a wealthy upbringing, and he came to America then and like kind of just came comfortable basically.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But do you think, was there a lot of masculine culture in the Middle East?
Oh, definitely. Especially back, like, before the 70s, Iran was a pretty liberal country in terms of, like, what the Shah wanted. Like, it was there, like, there was a separation of church and state. And not like America, but, like, it was better back then. But then, like, after, like, the Islamic Revolution, it became strictly, like, conservative. You were taught to be, like, the breadwinner of the house. So, like, he kind of, like, that kind of flipped him a little bit. And he came there and in 82, 83. Oh, okay. And, like, came to America.
So do you were born here.
I was born here.
Do you personally have any experience with Islamic culture?
I do. I did visit Iran. My dad, both sides of my family, they were really like too pushy when it came to instilling religion. But I also have like other friends. Like I have a couple Indian friends who are strictly Muslim. Like their parents tried to get me to pray when I came to their house. And like they told me, like even like they got mad at me that I told them like, oh yeah, I visited a church. I visited a like a temple.
Oh wow.
So like a lot of the culture there, I wouldn't say it's like, there's definitely like you got your liberal like your left leaning loose Muslims, and then you got your really strict conservative, what you'd call like your southerner over here would be like your strict like Muslim. Oh, okay. Over there.
Yeah,
but yeah, I've experienced it.
But okay, that's cool. So my main question then would be, what are your thoughts on They talk about how women that wear hijabs, it's oppressive to them, but a lot of women celebrate it and enjoy it. What are your thoughts on that?
So when it comes to, like, the oppressive side of, like, the Islamic culture, I do think it's rooted in the fact that, like, people usually have, like, a two-sided view on it. They either look at it as a way they should interpret their life, or they look at it as, like, this book will tell me how to live my life. And, like, with the stricter Muslims, they're going to take it literally. I just call them, like, they're fundamentalists. Like,
okay.
You got your really extreme fundamentalists, like the Al-Qaeda and Taliban, mm-hmm. who, like, will literally, like, if you steal something, we'll cut off your hands, strict. But then you got your, like, conservatives, like, you got to wear the full hijab from head to toe. And, like, yeah, you can't, like, you have to ask your husband to go out. Like, when I went to Iran, for example, there was literal segregation by sex. Like I was supposed to go water skiing with the rich side of my family, and like the reason I couldn't go is because like from like 12 to like 7 it was just like strictly for women, and in the morning it was for men.
But like
in terms of like the hijab in like Iran, and like there's actually a I wouldn't call it a revolution, but like there's protests where like women are actually going to the streets and taking off their hijab. And in Iran, when you go there, they're not too, like, strict on it. But, like, if you go to, like, some rural parts, they'll, like, you could get, like, beat up for, like, not wearing it. But, like, a lot of what women do, they kind of just put their own twist to it. Like, half the time, they're just wearing it, like, on a fourth of their head and showing the most of their hair. Then there's, like, some women who literally all you can see is, like, their eyes. So, like, I would say it's oppressive in terms of, like, expressing yourself. But I do believe the women in Iran are kind of, like, cheating the system in a sense.
Do you feel like some of the women do believe that it is oppression, and that's
absolutely.
Why?
Okay. Absolutely. My sister went there, was with me, and, like, she hated it.
Did she have to wear a...
She did at one point. Like, when we went to a more, like, metropolitan area, like, they didn't have to wear it, but, like, she's like, oh, no, this sucks. And, like, a lot of the women also are, like, they're born, like, learning that, okay, this is just a part of my life. But if you come from, like, America and you go to, like, a country like Iran, you kind of be like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Like, this is weird. Like, I don't like this. But, I mean, from all the way back then during the revolution, like, women didn't have to wear it. Like, my mom, she showed me pictures of her wearing, like, a bikini in Iran. Like, you'd never see that today. But, like, now she goes there, head to toe has to be closed, wearing the hijab. And, like, most of my family says, like, this is too much.
So you said you're a media and arts major, mm-hmm. and you have this experience with the Iran culture. I just want to ask, have you ever seen the movie Not Without My Daughter?
Yes,
the Sally Fields movie?
I'm going to be honest. It was a fun movie to watch.
I want to know your thoughts on that.
I watched it before I went to Iran, and then I went to Iran, and yes, they spoke Farsi, but it was a big misrepresentation of what Iran is. And like,
I wanted to check
I'm sure there's individual cases where maybe like the husband might be like as oppressive as Alfred Molina's character was, but no, it's nothing like that. Like, it's That movie was very dramatized.
Yeah.
But, like, it's definitely an interesting movie. It's a fun movie to watch. But, like, Iran back then, as far as I know, wasn't like that. And I know a lot of people in my family think, like, no, that's not really what Iran is like. I'd compare, honestly, I'd say that's more like Pakistan or, like, Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
But, yeah.
The reason I bring that into question is because you saw the transformation. Like, you saw this, the main guy, you know, he loves his wife and his daughter, and he's very, like, he's just a very loving father, and the minute like they go to this other country where he's from, he something flips and he's like instantly a new person. He becomes abusive, and it made me wonder, was that something that he had been hiding in him, or was that something that just came about because of the people he was around and he had to show them, almost as if like he's participating in the culture that he dominated his wife?
So in Iran, you grow, like, in most cultures, like, you grow up with a certain set of standards with your culture. And I, my guess is, like, if his character was a real person, actually, I think he is, I think that is based off, like, a real person.
It was inspired by a true story.
Like, his character more than likely grew up in a very strict, abusive, like, household. Mm-hmm. And, like, he grew up with that set of standards. But, like, a lot of Iranians, too, like, my mom, like, when we went to Chinatown, she tried bartering with, like some merchant. And, like, you can't, like, in Iran, you could do that, but you can't do it here. So, like, when, like, my dad...
You might be able to get away with a little bit of it.
But, like, but, like, my dad, he kind of tries to do that. He'll argue. Like, in Iran, like, when I went, he argued with the cop. And, like, he won the argument. But, like, when we go to the TSA, he tried to do that. But, like, he realized, like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah.
So, when, like, my guess is, like, when a lot of, like, masculine, strict, conservative Muslims come here, they know that, like, if you try to do that in America, you're going to go to jail. But, Iran, like, in Iran, there won't be as much repercussions for it.
So, it's actually looser over there.
It's no, like, you'll get in trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, it is very loose. Okay. Like, when it comes to that, like, you can get in trouble. Like, I haven't seen it firsthand, but I know, like, you can do a lot in Iran without getting in trouble. Like, you can, like, tip off a cop, and the cop will be like, and then, like, wave.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of countries kind of have that, and even where I came from, we had that too, where the cops were just kind of paid off by the president.
Yeah.
I'm from the Philippines, by the way. I was born there, but. Yeah, so I wanted to bring up another interesting topic, actually, and I wanted to know your thoughts on the Meninist movement.
The Meninist movement. So that's the criticizing
it's,
feminism.
It's the men's rights movement, where they feel like all of these intersectional movements are oppressing on their right.
To me, that's like the reverse racism. Like, that's just like just a load of baloney to me. Like, you... He's just like, oh my god, if a girl says this, even though like she gets what she wants all the time, like, no, it's just like you're just trying to overpower something that's always been oppressed. And it's just like why criticize something that like you already know is, it's just like,
yeah.
I don't even, like, people say, I have friends who say like, oh, they're just a bunch of trolls and they're just joking around. Like, no, some of them are being serious. Like,
yeah, they are serious.
They legitimately think like men are oppressed.
It's
like,
scary.
It is. It's very scary. Like, I've dealt with people like that, like, on my sets, and, like, they're just, like, they feel empowered for no reason. Like, dude, you've got, like, your hundreds and hundreds of years of, like, dominance. Like, give it up.
Yeah.
Like,
they dominated the whole world.
It's,
and
to me, that's the same thing as, like, reverse racism. Like,
that's true.
Yeah.
So I wanted to actually ask you about questions about sexuality, if you're comfortable with that. Okay, so what is your sexuality, if you don't mind answering?
I am a cisgendered straight male.
Okay. Are there any stigmas that you wish to dispel as a straight man?
Honestly?
About masculinity and...
Personally, for me, I am very comfortable with my sexuality, and I could do things with my friends that I could say, like, okay, you may think I'm a gay male, but I'm not. Because I'm comfortable with my sexuality. If you feel the need to say, like, bro, you shouldn't do that, like, people are going to think you're gay, like, I don't care. Like, to me, like, being a straight male is, like, just being comfortable with your sexuality. And, like, there's a lot of people who are just like, so, like, concerned about what other people think. Like, I don't care.
Yeah.
To me, honestly, in terms of, like, the masculine, like, straight male, I don't know if there'd be any stigmas for me to dispel, but, like, for me, it's just, like, people say, like, to me, it's just, like, just be comfortable with yourself, and, like, you'll be fine.
So I'm getting the sense that yeah, you do gain this sense of masculinity from just being free and being yourself as a man versus like the people who are so kind of insecure that they freak out any like sense of sensitivity or anything. They're like, oh, we don't do that. We don't do any of these things here.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, like especially like in a lot of European countries and even like Iran too. Like some people are like disgusted, like when they see like, oh, like I like when I go up and introduce myself to people, like especially my family, like I'll go kiss my uncles on the cheeks. Like that's nothing. That's just like a part of life. But like a lot of people are just like, oh no, you can't do that. So I think to a degree, that kind of like made me feel more comfortable, like just being like closer to males. Mm-hmm. Like I'll hold my brother's hand and I'll say like, I got you, bro. Like don't worry.
Yeah.
Well, no, like a lot of it is just people being too concerned about like what other people think, and like I feel like that's where the root of like the masculine like straight culture comes from too. Is just people are way too concerned. It's like, oh, bro, I need to find a girl. Like I don't even care. Like if I have a real relationship, I just need to be close. Like, nah, bro. Like chill out.
So you think that there can be some parts to it that are toxic?
Oh, absolutely. What straight culture is like different from like. What other people think, like the muscles and like, oh, like I need to go with the boys on a Saturday.
Miami.
Like, yeah. Exactly. But like, no, there's definitely toxic parts, like especially when it comes to like how like other friends treat their other friends. Like I've had like I give my friends like back massages and I have this one friend, like I'll go up and like, here you go. How does this feel? It's like, bro, get off me. Like what I'm going to do, kiss you? Like chill out. Like you're like freaking yourself out for nothing.
And they almost freak out, except the way they treat women, like they don't even see like that they're exactly what they're afraid of.
Like I read this article by this transgender woman, and she said like before she transitioned, like she would not like she wasn't like too into like making love, but after she transitioned, she made love with some straight men and some bisexual men, and she realized like no, with straight men, like they don't care if like you're pleased, but like bisexual men understand that like. A relationship and love is the two-way street, but like to me a lot of the straight culture is like, oh, I'm just gonna go in, do what I need to do and get out, like I don't care
about
my partner.
What they want.
It's to a degree it's very selfish, so I mean that's just to me it's very toxic.
Have you heard about the concept of soft masculinity?
No, I haven't actually.
There was this Tumblr post that went really viral, and it was a photo collection, and it was titled Radically Soft Photos of Black Masculinity. And it's about, it had just a collection of photos of these black men who, or African-American men who took pictures with roses and just very sensible things and sensitive things. But at the same time, they were still embracing the fact that they were like a cisgendered straight man. And a lot of people kind of criticized it because they were like, this is not what masculinity is. This doesn't embody what masculinity should look like. Do you think that masculinity has this, because it is a social construct, most people have this idea of what it's supposed to look like, and therefore you can't be labeled as masculine if you don't display, like you said, the muscles and stuff like that.
Masculinity, especially when it comes to the standards of that, to me is also like what people think like the standards of a relationship are. Like they always expect the honeymoon phase, the flowers, the dinner, and like this is what a relationship is. Mm-hmm. Like I gotta hold my hand with my babe on Instagram and that's what a relationship is. Like no, masculinity and also relationships too, to me it's very flexible. And like a lot of people are stripping themselves away of their individuality or the way they express themselves just because they feel like, oh my god, I need to go like to a monster derby like on Saturday with my bros and like drink a couple beers and a pint and I gotta go eat like fuck, like oh my god, like oh, like it's just weird. But no, it's just like to me it's flexible and there's like a spectrum when it comes to it, and like I think in a few years it will change when people like especially like in terms of like racism back like in the day with the baby boomers, a lot of it changed because people were growing up with open-minded people. But when you grow up with like racist people, you're gonna grow up to be a racist.
Yeah.
Like if you grow up with a homophobic person, I think you'll change within a year because the culture is also changing and people are realizing like, no, this is not one strict set of standards.
Yeah.
It's flexible.
That's why people say that we just need to wait another like 20 years for all those baby boomers to kind of.
Yeah, it's honestly, like, baby boomers, I'm sorry. Y'all were cool in the 80s, but, like, please, we don't need you anymore.
And eventually we'll all look Puerto Rican, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everyone will pretty much be on the same level in a few years, right?
Yeah, like, people don't realize that, like, you are your own person. You don't need to follow a set of standards. You don't need to be, like, in one direction. Like, there's multiple different ways. It's a spectrum. It's not a binary system.
Well, you heard it here first. But I wanted to ask you, too, do you think masculinity is linked to sexuality?
Yes.
Yes,
in the sense of, like, people think, like, especially with a lot of my friends. Like, I have an African-American friend who says, like, oh, I don't think black women are beautiful. And, like, I've kind of noticed this is, like, we need the with the blonde woman with the long legs and blue eyes. Like on the Playboy cover, like, half naked. Like, that, like, people are just so, moved towards that. That's, like, where everyone says, like, this is beauty, but, like, beauty can't be found anywhere else. I do think it's linked to sexuality in the sense, like, they're always looking for the same woman. Like, they're idolizing and romanticizing one woman, if they're straight. But, like, I do think to a degree it's linked to, like, sexuality, too.
Okay. Well, that's great. That's great. So I think for my last question, what people really want to know is it masculine to cry?
Yes. Absolutely.
You mind expanding on that?
Crying is the release of energy. Like, you are holding in these negative emotions and you need to let it go. There's a big issue where, like, little boys are taught not to cry because it's manly, and a lot of them end up developing depression, and, like, a lot of it leads to suicides because they're not bred to say, like, it's okay to express yourself. I have a couple friends who, like, I'll talk to them and I say, dude, it's okay to cry. Like, I'm not going to judge you, but, like, they just don't want to talk about what's bothering them, and then they just let themselves, like, just hold it in, and it's super unhealthy. And that's, like, one aspect of masculinity that is also toxic is, like, you can't cry, you're a boy, you need to be manly. Like, my dad, he was kind of, like, in the sense, like, he's like, why are you crying, you're such a little girl. But then, like, and later on in life, I kind of noticed he was comfortable crying in front of me too. But, like, no, like, crying is masculine, and people need to realize that crying is okay, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that's just another part of human life, and there's no set of standards that you need to follow when it comes to expressing your emotions.
That's true. I don't think I saw my dad cry either until I turned, like, 18. It's almost like when you're an adult, like, they can finally show you their emotions.
Absolutely.
And you're like, oh, wow.
Absolutely.
I never saw this side of you.
Like, it's okay. Like, I also think that's a part of, like, minority culture, too, in terms of, like, people are more comfortable expressing themselves. But, like, especially, like, in terms of, like, white culture here, I've noticed, like, they're not okay with it. And I feel like my dad, to a certain degree, was okay with a few things, like crying and expressing yourself. But when he came here, it kind of changed when he started, like, blending in with the baby boomers and, like, accepting the culture here that he's
just kinda, like, those darn baby boomers.
I don't like them. The 80s was not fun. The 60s was cool, but not the 80s.
Well, you guys heard it here first. Thank you for tuning in to the very first episode of Men Don't Cry. I will be back soon with another guest. I'm Kevin Barcinas with KPCRadio.com. I just want to thank you, Amir, for being on our show today.
Thank you for having me. Merci beaucoup.